Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Rahel Esteber, Rahel Esteber, this week with the brilliant London Hughes. Thanks so much if you backed our Kickstarter, we've hit our target, but there's still a few days left, and those exclusive rewards of t-shirts, special videos, signed stones and snooker balls, and a chance to be the executive producer of Rahel Esteber, Rahel Esteber, or the other podcasts, are still available, and they're exclusive, so you won't be able to have a chance to buy them after this Kickstarter is over. Go to rahelesteber.co.uk/Kickstarter. And chip in a little bit if you enjoy these podcasts. Also, check out richardherring.com/gigs and you can see where the tour shows are coming. I'm in Leeds and Salford in May. Still a few tickets left for both of those, but they're selling very well. I'm in Edinburgh from the 2nd to the 25th of August doing 21 Edinburgh Rahel Estepers. It's going to be awesome. Do book ahead and come to those if you can. I won't be booking the guests until much nearer the time. Any road. Let's sit back, relax, and enjoy Rahel Esteber, my fan friends.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who has just done a wee with no blood in it. It's Richard Herring! Thank you very much. Hello! Hello, Leicester Square Theatre. Lovely to be back in the home of this podcast. Welcome to Richard Herring's Lymphocyte Stimulation Test podcast. And of course, I don't need to tell you, this podcast is all going to be about measuring the ability of lymphoids to respond in vitro to an activation stimulus. That's what we're going to get all the guests out. It's just a new direction. See how that goes down. It's going to be a lot of fun. The diet's going okay. I've lost another pound. I'm over a stone gone now. One stone, one pound. So that's... I don't think... My plan was to wear the suit that I wore in 2015 by the end of this series. It's not going fast enough. We'll see. Or I might just wear it and let it break. But I've got a new prop that... this is... The audience have seen this. This is my new baton de commandant that would have been called in the old days. It's just, this is a little cane I'm going to just have just as a gimmick. It's a gimmick for my... You enjoy this, sir? Look, you lean on it. Oh, see? Yeah, you're loving it, aren't you? Didn't laugh. You were here last week. You didn't laugh at a thing. And then I just... That's... It's all you need, just a little twirl that around. This could really hurt someone. It's the one living in the front row. Yeah? Because you can pretend, like, was pretending it was my penis there. That was the... Because you can't do that, can you, now? And then nowadays, you can't do that. Can't pretend a cane's a penis to a stranger anymore. Unless they want... Do you want that? Yeah, she does want it, so it's fine. Fine. You have to ask first, mate. So, I'll just keep that there. George, the sound guy, wants this. He wants to take this home. He said, that's mine. Jess from the said he could have that. He's got a very sad... It's a very sad life, George, the incompetent sound guy, but it's nice. He'll go home tonight. He'll be lying in bed with that. Imagining it's my penis. You do not have my permission, George. You do not have my permission. So, good. We filled the time. It would have passed in any case, but not so quickly. It's a little quote from Waiting for Godot. That's how classy we are. So, our guest this week, she's probably best known for being the woman in the sex shop in Fleabag. Come on, that's a pretty good credit. She's in Fleabag. Will you please welcome the amazing London Hughes, ladies and gentlemen?
Hello.
It's the cane. The cane does it every time.
I want to do a little thing, because obviously social media and that.
Yeah, we are filming this already.
Hi, guys.
Who's that grey-haired bloke in the back?
I know.
Who's that?
It's this old white dude. This is an audience, but you can't see them because it's dark. Make some noise and then
there we go.
Thank you.
There we go. Well, thank you for coming along. How are you doing? Make yourself at home. Hello. You will have to talk into a microphone eventually. Though you're posting it now. Okay. This is what you get when you get youngsters on. I don't know, it's just beside you, I think. I can see a wire. There
Hello.
It is.
Hello! Hey! Hi, guys. Thank you for staying. I was like, they're not going to stay for me. After James, and you stayed. Thank you.
Of course they stayed.
Appreciate it. What's the matter, babe?
Of course they stayed. There's some boys in a state of shock. seeing a lady's shoulders. Some of them have never seen that much. They've never been happier in their life. So, woman in the sex shop in Fleabag.
Yeah. Do you want to know how that happened?
Yeah, I want to know what happened.
So, Phoebe Waller-Bridge,
yeah.
She's a badass. What happened was, she was a fan of mine,
okay.
Or I auditioned for another show that she did on Channel 4 called Crashing,
oh, yes.
And I didn't get it. She remembered my audition tape and was like, I'm just going to put this bitch in Fleabag. But at the time, Fleabag weren't Fleabag. It was just a show called Fleabag. And my agent rang me and was like, do you want to be in Fleabag? I was like, why? Why would I do that? And she was like, Olivia Colman's in it. I was like, okay. If it's good enough for Liv, do you know what I mean? I'll do it. And then I'm going to be real with you. I had no idea who Phoebe was. I knew that she wrote stuff, but I didn't know she had like a one-woman show. I didn't know anything about her. And she was just so lovely. And she was like, London, this is my middle-class white woman voice. London, I wish I could give you more, but it's just a small scene, but you're going to kill it. And I was like, Phoebe, it's all right, it's TV, do you know what I mean? I'll take the money, do you know what I mean? What else am I going to do? And I did the scene, and it was me, her, Jamie Dimitri, and we were in a sex shop, and I had to flirt with her a little bit, and I had to talk about this vibrator called the Borrower. And, and it was fun. And then after working with Phoebe, she thought I was awesome, which is true, that I am.
Yeah, that is true, I've heard.
And she's continued to be my friend in life, and now she's my homegirl. She even signed I'm a big deal now, and I just got signed in America, but to get signed in America, you have to get a visa and work out there, and Phoebe signed my visa thing to basically say I'd be an asset to the entertainment industry in America.
Wow.
She's such an awesome woman. I love her to bits.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah, that's how Fleabag happened.
Oh, brilliant.
But I've only ever seen my episode. I heard it's good, though. Heard it's really good.
It is very good. Is
episode
very
three,
good.
That's me, episode three. I've only ever seen... Heard it's good, heard it's really funny. You should watch it. It's on catch up.
You backstage are telling me that I'd chosen the wrong embarrassing... Well, you had another idea for...
For my embarrassing thing. Yeah. I've always wanted to be famous, but for a real reason, not just like a reality reason. Like, I'm very talented. And I'm extremely talented. And I always tried, I was that girl that was trying to be on TV all the time. I auditioned for Big Brother 4 times. The 4th time I actually got through, but I had to repeat. They told me if I went on that series, I would have had to repeat uni, the first year of uni again. And I chose education. Mm. And I said no. And the year was, do you remember when, who watches Big Brother here? Is anyone fans of Big Brother? No, when it was Classy with Davina, not this new shit. The Classy, Davina Big Brother, Classy Big Brother. The year that Brian, black guy, Brian, from Basildon. That year he won. I was supposed to be in the house that year and I turned that shit down. But apart from that, I also had my first ever TV job was presenting Babe Station in the daytime.
These guys all watch it. They've all seen it. That's why they're here.
Babe Station in the daytime!
It's good.
No, it sounds proper porny. It's not that porny. It's all right. So basically, imagine like in the day, it's like Babe Station, because obviously the channel got to keep running. They got to pay bills, innit? But you're not allowed nudity at 4 p.m. So it's just me. So it's like live TV, and it's just me like, hi, you're watching Flirt UK with London. And then you know at the bottom of the screen, you could like text in back in the day before iPhones were a thing. Remember? And you could just text in like, and it said 073, and you text in at the bottom of the screen. You could do that, and then you could also send in your picture to me. So I'd be like, this is Rich, he likes black girls. If you think Rich is nice, text in. And then at the bottom, be like, hey, Rich, ASL, which means age, sex, location.
Yeah. And then like... tell me.
And then you would like talk through the TV.
Yeah.
It's called Flirt UK. And it was £20 an hour. And then at 11 o'clock, that's when the porn started. So I'd go off. I'm out of there. My grandma's a Christian. I was out of there. But the porn stuff was crazy because the porny girls, they would be like normal girls. And they'd be like working and be like, fuck me. But then be like, all right, babe, there's chicken nuggets in the fridge. Fuck me. It was so weird. They'd be on the phone to their kids, on the phone to the clients. Kids, clients. And they would be, yeah. But I got the sack from that.
Yeah, how come?
So basically, I was quite naive. I was 18. And I was really quite naive. And I'm really funny as a person. Don't know if you can tell. And like, if you put a camera on me and it's live TV for how many hours, I'm going to think of content. So I started talking about my shoes. So I was like, today I'm wearing these shoes, da da da. And then guys would be like, yeah, put your feet up again. I'd be like, okay, this week I'm wearing these shoes. This week, and I didn't realise that foot fetishes was a thing, because I was 18. So guys were like wanking off to my feet on daytime Flirt UK. So yeah. My producer came in and was like, I need to talk to you about your content. Like, you can't do Husey shoes anymore because... Can't do Husey shoes because there's foot fetishes and people are wanking off to you. They like it and you need to stop doing Husey shoes. So that was strike one. So I was like, okay, I'm going to stop doing Husey shoes. And then I was like, why don't you send in stuff? So I'd get them to send in pictures and I'd make stories about the pictures. See, it was good. 4 o'clock in the afternoon and you get me. Great content.
Yeah.
And people would send in a picture and I'd be like, this is Jim. And I'd make up a story about Jim. And we had this regular that always sent in pictures of himself. And Sky Plus had just been invented where you could pause the TV. And this guy, I think it was Jim, I can't remember, he paused the TV with my face on it, got his dick out. Can I say dick on this?
You can say anything you like.
Got his dick out, put his dick next to my face, and then took a picture of that, got his friend to take a picture of that, and then sent it in to me. And now back then, pixelation wasn't our friend, innit? Because it was all blurry. So I couldn't really tell that was a picture of a dick in my mouth. I was just me. So I put the picture up, like, stop. So at 4 p.m, if you were watching Sky Channel 872, you'd see me like this, with a dick in my mouth, with a nice pink penis in my mouth at 4 p.m. And then when I pull it up, you know when, like, you panic, because I saw I put it up, I was like, and I couldn't take it down, it was up there a bit too long, and then Ofcom found out.
Yeah, that's what they're there for.
But why are you watching, who's complaining about that at 4... What sad individual writes in, oh yeah, I was on Babe Station in the daytime and I saw a dick in a girl's mouth.
It's very respectable in the daytime.
Do you know what I mean?
It's just flirting in the daytime shoes.
And that's the thing, and because I already did the whole Husey shoes thing and that was a debacle as it is, they were like, we can't have you, you're a liability. So they sacked me from Babe Station.
Did you get... Did you go straight to CBeebies yes, after I that?
My next job, 6 months later, was CBBC. No bullshit. That was my next job. And I know some of the dads remembered me from another time. Okay.
I bet you got weird people on CBeebies than you on Babe Station.
Oh, my God. I'm even more of a sexual heartthrob in the kids' world. Weird? That sounded weird. No, but you need to... No, so... No, no. Sounds weird. Not a paedophile. Not a paedophile. Here's the thing. No, I just need to stress that. Keep that bit in. I'm not a paedophile. So...
It's going to be only that, London. Yeah. That's the only one that's going to be...
Not a paedophile.
People are saying you're a paedophile. I'm not a paedophile.
Not a paedophile. No, so...
Yeah.
On kids' TV, like, there's this whole taboo of, like, sexy kids presenter type thing. And I'm very fit. So I fit that. So I fit that mold of, like, sexy kids presenter.
Yeah.
And when I was on CBBC, I just got all the weirdos just sending me stuff. And there was this one guy, and he just wanted me to always wear satin trousers and rub my thighs. And he would send satin trousers to my agent and be like, can London please wear this on the show when she introduces Tracy Beaker? And I'm like... So weird. So there was like satin thing. And then I recently found out, guys, which I'm actually really excited about. I'm massive in the gunge fetish world. Like, so gunge fetish is a thing. And my friend was on a date with this guy, and he was going through her Instagram, and he saw a picture of me and her together, and he was like, you know London Hughes? And she was like, well, obviously, she's my friend. And I think she just thought, you know, he recognised me from TV because I'm a star. But here's the thing. He recognised me from the Gunge websites. So when I was, I used to present a show called Scrambled on ITV, and I used to get gunged,
yeah.
And these gunge fetish people would like... rip the clips and pull it up, and it's had hundreds of thousands of views, and people love watching me get gunge. I give good gunge, and they'd be like you'd read the comments and be like, oh, at 22 seconds when her mouth's open, and I'm like, what, people are sick in it. Sick gunge.
I mean, you'd be sacked from Babe Station when that kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's allowed on CBeebies.
Sick. With the gut, like, proper, like, and it's just, they slow it down, add music, make it all sexy, like a late-night Channel 5 movie. Literally, it was disgusting, but also, I was really flattered. I was so flattered about that.
It's a very powerful thing, being a presenter on CBeebies, I'm telling you, because what you've got, speaking from experience, is some very tired parents who have found themselves trapped in a terrible situation that they didn't
want. Yeah, that they didn't want to have.
They didn't expect
they
and didn't know it was going to. They thought it'd be beautiful and it's horrible.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not seeing your partner because you're just working shifts at this job of raising a human being.
Yeah.
And then these happy, jolly, innocent-looking, gunge-covered girls come on. And it gets, you know, luckily... you were before my time on CBeebies, so if you were Rebecca from CBeebies, we'd be in trouble now.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, look at
you're
that.
You're fine. You're
okay,
fine.
Thank you. I'm really happy about
but
that.
But kind of, it's a sort of primeval, because they're the only grown-ups you see in the
day.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Is that why?
So you're looking after babies, and you're not really seeing your partner because you're taking it in shifts.
So you're just wanking and over kids presenters.
No, I mean, it's not even that... mentally wanking over them, but you're not. You don't have the energy to even actually masturbate.
Oh,
so
mate.
It's just, it's more you think these people are your friends. Not Andy from Andy's Dinosaur Adventures, he can fuck right
off. What? Andy's great! We love Andy!
He can fuck right off.
Andy's wicked, mate. Love Andy. Bless him. Yeah, CBBC's crazy. I've got stories. Now that I've left, because say what the fuck I want. There's so much stuff that goes on there. Like, they have the best parties, like Blue Peter parties. Oh my God. Free bar. Everyone, I'm throwing up on the one show so far. Like, it's mad. It is mad. Every Thursday, a cart comes round at 4 p.m. They called it Wine Thursdays. I didn't start drinking until I became a CBBC presenter. Literally, everyone's like, London, it's Wine Thursday. It's 4 o'clock. What are you drinking? And I'm like, oh, babes, I just want the lemonade. And no, down it, down it. And then I'm on live TV, like, coming up next is Skibbidoo. Skibbidoo. Like, it's crazy. It's a lot of fun, and your taxpayers pay for that shit, man. It's just...
Well, we should get to see that then if we're paying for it. That's why.
Wine Thursday. I loved it. Best job ever. It's great. Yeah, because I was 21 at the time, just left uni, dropped out of uni, to be on CBBC.
What were you studying at uni?
Television studies. The worst degree to study if you want to be on TV. They just make you watch episodes of Desmond's over and over again. It's just so weird. It was a terrible, terrible degree. I hated it. And I just... The moment I... That one got to you, innit, babes?
Just Desmond's.
Just Desmond's.
Just Desmond's. They make TV, Desmond's.
No, just Desmond's, man.
It's a good show.
And I was like, it was just crazy. And then I remember, like, being at uni and thinking, like, I'm just going to get this degree, then go up to the BBC and be like, give me a job. And I'm so happy that I found comedy and I got in that way, because I'd be working in Topshop right now, not going to lie. So I'm really happy, but yeah.
So how did you get into stand-up? You won the Funny Women 2007?
Nine.
2009?
Yeah, I'd only been doing comedy for 2 months when I won. Right. Everyone else can suck a dick, bruv. I'm funny. I actually only entered because I wanted to see women do comedy, because I'd never seen women do comedy before. And Catherine Ryan won it the year before me. So Catherine Ryan gave me my award and she went on to do fuck all with her life. So look at that. No, Catherine's great. Yeah, she gave me my award. It was crazy. It was here. The semi-finals was here.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And 2009. And I remember just thinking, there's so many white people here. And I've never done, because I was on the black comedy circuit, and I feel like people don't know that exists, but it's a circuit where Richard Blackwood is king, right? And he is absolutely, and you just perform to black audiences in big spaces, and it's next level, like this shitty circuit. Oh my God, the black comedy circuit. If black people find you funny, I don't know what it is, maybe it's the slavery, but we have to just release it. Like, we have to laugh really loud. So I was doing gigs on the black comedy circuit and they would laugh, throw chairs, be like, oh my God, she's so funny. So I remember the first time I did a gig in front of white people and they just laughed, and I came off stage like, I died, man. And everyone was like, no, you killed it. I was like, no one threw a chair, man. Don't lie, man. I didn't do that well. No one threw a chair. They were like, they clapped. I was like, yeah, but no one threw a chair. So I remember thinking, like, when I came here to do the semi-finals of Funny Women, I remember thinking, look, I just need one chair on stage and I know I've got it. And no one threw a chair. And I got through to the finals and I was in shock. I was like, oh my God, I'm funny. Oh my God. And then the finals at the Comedy Store. And again, like, same thing, killed it to pieces. And then won the whole goddamn thing, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And then afterwards, everyone kept telling me I should go to Edinburgh. And I was like, why? What's... Like, I didn't know there was a thing there. I just thought, like... I was like, why do all these people want me to go to Edinburgh? Like, what? You go to Edinburgh. Like, fuck it. I'm in Croydon. I'm fucking saying Croydon, okay? You go to Edinburgh. Like, I didn't realise there was a whole thing in Edinburgh called it. Like, they were just like, go to Edinburgh. I was like, you're a dickhead. So, but I actually went to Edinburgh and I was like, oh shit, this is a thing. Yeah. I had no idea. I was so new to the whole world of comedy before I won the Funny.
That's often a good thing. You know, it's often good to be doing your own thing, and you know, you don't know. You know, then you stand out.
Exactly.
I mean, Funny Women's a great. It was, you know, it's been going for a good long time now, and it's good that it's there, and it's paying the dividends. Of, you know, I think there are, back 10, 15 years ago, there weren't too many female comedians.
No, now there's loads. There were loads when I started, but I feel like more are on TV now, which is great. There still needs to be more work in that. Still a bit shit, but I'm trying to change that one step at a time. Do you know what I mean? I'm trying.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
guys.
Well, what are you doing? I mean, you've been out to LA and exciting things have happened for you in LA.
Yeah.
I don't think you're allowed to talk about it yet.
Yeah, but... no. So basically with LA, so what had happened was, when I was like starting out, I just saw... So when I started comedy, I've been doing comedy 10 years. When I started, Gina Yashray had just gone to LA and she just left. And that was my only source of like black women in comedy, and she fucked off. So I was like, oh shit. And then Andy Osho was my homegirl for a bit, then she fucked off. And I was just like, oh, who? And then Idris Elba went to my uni and he went to America and was in The Wire and then got Luther and everything was like amazing for him. But I remember before he went to America, he was in Family Affairs and no one gave a shit. Idris Elba was in Family Affairs. Idris, sexiest man on the planet, Elba, was in Family Affairs and no one gave a shit. He went to America, got The Wire, Luther. No, you're not going to do me like that. But I just thought America's the only way I'm going to get famous in the UK because they don't give a shit about black people. So in the head, in the back of my mind, I just knew that that was something I had to do.
Yeah, it's it's true. It's tragically true. And shown over and over again. And a lot of black actors, male and female actors, are going to America.
Oh, my God.
Being huge in America.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And we're doing Family Affairs.
Family Affairs. Like, do you know how disrespectful that is?
Lucky.
We had Idris Elba in Family Affairs. Channel 5. What? But I'm really good friends with Daniel Kaluuya, who's the star of Get Out and Black Panther and Widows. And he was like, go to America. And I was like, I'm going to see what you do first. I'll watch you. And then he went, boom. I was like, oh, shit, I need to go. And I was frustrated at that point, at a point, because I couldn't get my own TV show. So I've never had my own TV show over here. I've nearly had my own show 8 times.
Right.
8 goddamn times. And I watched people that I started out with go on to be superstars. So I did a Radio 4 show. It's a sitcom that I wrote. It's just a pilot, but it aired on Radio 4. And I had to fight to get Ramesh Ranganathan to be in it because they were like, we don't think he's good enough. And I was like, he needs to be in it. He's got talent. This was 2013. I was like, Ramesh has got something. Put him in it. Then he went on to be Ramesh. And I was like, oh God. Then Catherine was Catherine. I remember doing 8 out of 10 Cats tryouts with Josh Widdicombe and Josh being like, you're really funny, man. You'll get on this before I do. Then Josh got on it and I didn't. He became Josh. And Jack Whitehall, I remember him crying drunk at some place in Edinburgh. And I was like, who's this? Oh, come here. Who's this sad white guy? Come here, babe. Come. And I remember like stroking his face, like, why the fuck? Who's this guy? And then my friend was like, that's Jack Whitehall. He's just had a scandal about him in the press about cocaine or whatever. I was like, oh, he'll never make it. Boom! He became a thing. And so I remember watching every one of my like peers just be massive. And I was just like, I'm not going to be big here. I'm going to have to go there. And I was frustrated at the fact that no one would give me my own show. So I just wrote stuff. I wrote 25 sketches in 3 days. And I was sleeping with this guy at the time who happened to be a cinematographer. And I then made him my boyfriend. I slept with him first and made him my boyfriend. And then he filmed these sketches for me. I directed them. And then I got my friends to be in them. And I put them on YouTube and just put them out there so people could be like, if I die, people will know that I was fucking talented. Do you know what I mean? Like, people be like, that London Hughes, we should have given her our own show. Like, I wanted that.
So it's No Filter. These
it
are
was
the
called
No Filter,
no filter. Yeah. So I just put them out on YouTube 2 years ago.
Right.
And an American company, management company, were just on YouTube, just clicking, living their best lives. And they stumbled. just clicking. And they stumbled across the videos and was like, who's this amazing chick? And I was like, it's me. And then they signed me. And I had to fly out to Beverly Hills to meet with them. And then literally the shit that's happening for me now, you ain't even going to... Oh, shit in hell. My life has changed completely. I came back from LA yesterday. And the stuff that's happening right now, the opportunities that I'm getting and the things that are about to happen for me, oh my God, I'm going to write a memoir. I'm just going to be like tales of a black girl that wasn't appreciated in her own town, had to go to LA, and now everyone's on her dick.
It's a good title.
That's the title. Thanks, babe.
But
that's the title.
The No Filter thing is, you know, it's all there. You can, it's all up now.
Yeah,
I was watching
it
today, and it's kind of interesting because it's brilliantly, it's beautifully shot. Now I know why.
Yeah,
and it's.
Sometimes you've got to fake it till you make it.
But they're lovely little sort of two or three minute vignette things, and there's beginning, middle, and end, and they're really well acted. There's there's a lot of black actors in there.
Yeah, because I know about diversity.
Yeah. But you would think that the UK would be falling out. You know, they claim, you know, TV claims they're falling over.
It's bullshit.
Oh, we need to find, but we can't find people.
It's bullshit. And I feel like they just say it just to say it.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't actually want it, because if they actually wanted it, it would happen. But it's just like, we need to be seen to be saying it, because we're in a time where you can get called out for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? It's a very competitive market, and it's a very, you know, very competitive job, and it's the kind of thing people get their feet under the table, and it's hard to shift those people from, you know. So everyone's struggling a little bit, but you would, you know, everyone goes, oh, positive discrimination, you know, and there's all these people, you know, queuing up waiting to be discovered.
Oh my God, and, like, literally. Yeah. Like, I've been here, I was like, I'm just waiting for everyone to figure out how awesome I am. Like, you know, when you just know that you're awesome, and it's just like, you lot, hurry up, man, because I've got things to do. I've got my life to live. But they finally figured it out now, and I'm fucking off. Like, it's always the way.
But it's great that you, you know, it's great that you just put together and did those things. And they, you know, they, I don't know if they haven't had thousands.
No,
thousands
they haven't even
views.
Had thousands of views.
So there's quite low counts on those.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, there's someone out there making all this stuff, showing you it's there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's admirable, A, that you went out and just did it, and that is the way to
you
go
just
forward.
Get it out there.
Go out there, keep working, keep working. But also, there's people producing the stuff that these are all little tiny short films.
That's
you know,
what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
So, the talent is there. Like, YouTube, and everyone messages me, like, how do you make it on TV? How do you do this? I'm like, babes, when I started, there was no Instagram. There was barely Twitter, barely Facebook. Like, now we've got the whole world. Like, how can I just... I wrote these sketches in my bedroom, like, watching Broad City and angry that we could never... There's no female equivalent of Broad City in this country, and there probably never will be. That's why they're bringing back Smack the Pony, because they just cannot make female content for some reason, even though Smack the Pony is amazing. But I remember just thinking, and typing all this stuff out, like, this will show you. And then now I'm literally like... Oh, just living my best life.
It's good. But that's you know, but that's what it's about. And that's I don't know, it's interesting that you can make it by doing that, and then it's interesting that that's all it takes, even with something with 3,000 or 5,000 views, which isn't a terrible amount.
No,
of views,
but it's not massive.
And then just the right person sees it, and then
and
you know,
now
stuff can happen.
Yeah, I'm going back out in couple of weeks to film a movie, so life is all right.
but it's all equally terrible that and you have been, you know, you've been around for a long time.
10 years.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You've had about 10 different names.
Miss London
Miss
in
London,
the beginning.
Were, yeah.
But I had to change the Miss London thing because there was actually like a Miss London pageant.
Right.
And the pageant winner was like, bitch, that's me. And I was like, that's you this year. I'm Miss London all the time. But I had to change it to just my name. So, yeah, because that way people weren't confusing me. Even though I am pretty enough to be a pageant winner, I'm not a pageant winner. So, but yeah.
Oh, terrific. Well, it's very... Well, there's lots of... They've done a lot of weird stuff. What I really loved that was that series. It didn't get much... publicity at the time, I don't think, but Bad Bridesmaid.
Bad Bridesmaid.
Yeah, we watched that every week because, well, there was lots of people we knew on it, but there was...
Oh,
you know,
my God!
That was a great show.
Mate!
For that kind of show.
Mate! There's a thing about... This is why this industry pisses me off. So there was a TV show called Bad Bridesmaid on ITV2, and it was a vehicle for young female talent, and it was where female comedians had to pretend that we were part of a bridal party. So the bride was in on it, but her bridesmaids weren't, and we had to go away. We had to go away with these brides and bridesmaids and stay with them for like 3 days and do like a hen do with them. And we'd had to get the bride to do certain challenges. And she had to agree, because if she got through the whole hen do and none of her bridesmaids figured out that we were imposters, she won a honeymoon. So she was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And the comedians on it were Annika Harry, Sarah Campbell, Anna Morris. I can't remember who else.
Holly Byrne.
And there was one more, and I'm so terrible. Oh, me. Oh, London News. London News. So imagine, so everyone else, this is why I feel like I go above and beyond for this industry, and it doesn't respect me, because listen to this. So everybody else, they had their characters, and they had to just pretend to be other people. But at that time in my career, I was quite kind of known because I used to do a lot of kids' TV.
Yeah.
So I couldn't pretend to be like Camilla Frush or something, because that was the name we're going to go, Camilla Frush. I couldn't be Camilla Frush because they might be like, isn't that that chick from Kids TV that gets gunged? Like that, they might recognise me. Sure. So I was like, I'm just going to be myself. And I had to be like the most terrible version of myself. So I decided, I came up with a character where I was just really narcissistic, really like all about me, which is so hard to do. And I just thought I was way more famous than what I was. So in every little thing we had to do, we went away in like some massive estate thing and there was like horse riding and all that kind of stuff. And I had to always panic because paparazzi were like always there, even though they weren't. And I had a lot of anxiety. So I was like, oh my God, I've got anxiety. I can't go bowling. I've got anxiety. And I was on the air diet, so I couldn't eat around any of the girls. So I just, every time we had dinner, I was like, and I had to convince and the thing is, it's so hard because that a show like that, when the camera's rolling, I can turn it on, but I had to keep the character up when the cameras weren't rolling, actually even more so, because every time the cameras went on, if I started going but in real life I was cool, they'd suss it. So I was actually even more crazy behind the scenes. And then in shows like that, it's all hidden camera. Obviously the camera crew and directors are in on it, but they've got to pretend that they're not. So any crazy thing I was doing, the director would be like, what are you doing? And I'm like, what, we rehearsed this in my brain. I'm like, no, but it was such a, like, psychologically it messed with me.
Yeah, yeah.
But what happened was, I knew I was a sick actress because I got to them girls so much that I got punched in the face. Yeah! Punched in the face, Rich! They punched me in the goddamn face. Let's be clear, they were from Hackney, so I expected that. But they punched me in the goddamn face. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. So the final, after pissing them off for 4 days straight and just being so, like, there was one point where we had to play polo, and I told the bride that I needed a back massage before the polo game, and she was massaging my back, and her Hindu were her cousins and sisters, so they were like, who the fuck is this chick and why are you massaging her, like, what is going on? And then the final thing was, we had to do a photo shoot, and we all got given these dresses to wear, and the bride had three bridal gowns to choose from, and backstage we're all getting, like, trying on the dresses, saying, I like this one, blah 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 blah, and I had to put on the wedding gown and come out for the photo shoot in the wedding gown. And then the bride had to be like, I had to say to the bride, can I wear this to the wedding? And she had to say yeah. So we're all doing the shoot, and then it's the final shots, and I just put on this wedding gown, and I remember every part of my body told me not to put this gown on, but I was like, you've got to do it for telly, you've got to do it for the industry, you've got to do it, come on, you've got to do it. So I put this dress on, and I came out, and I was like, dun, 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 dun. And these girls just looked at me like, oh my God, what the fuck? And then the bride was like, her face, she was mortified. She's like, oh my God, London, what are you doing? I'm like, play along, bitch. So I was like, da, 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 da. And I was like, hey, honey, can I wear this to the wedding? And she was like, yeah, of course you can. And her sister was like, what the fuck? No, she ain't wearing that to my fucking wedding. I'm tired of you. And my character was not confrontational, and which is even more annoying. So anytime the girls were mad at me, I had to be like, what do you mean? It's just a dress. Like, it's just a normal dress. Like, you guys look pretty, I look pretty. It was that kind of attitude. And that pissed them off even more. Yeah. So the sister got in my face, and she was like, you've been pissing me off for 4 days. Now you're going to put this dress on? I was like, what? Where's your problem with me? It's all love, babe. I go to give her a hug, and she goes, bow in my face. And I remember just thinking, oh my God. But I'm such a good actress that I just held it down, and I went, why did you hit me? That was my response. And in my head I was going, it's going to be great TV, stay in character, stay in character. And then ITV cut it out of the show because they said it would lower the tone of the show. I got punched for nothing. So I take, I'm so good. I'm punching your face, yeah. Good. That's like London Hughes. So it's life. But yeah, it was such a good show, and it aired in 2014. They didn't give it a second series. Not quite sure why, but
well, it's weird, yeah. Again, because it was a really good showcase for new comedians, female comedians,
yeah.
And you know, and it was an incredibly difficult job because you were, because exactly that, you were in character for 3 or 4 days.
And because I was being me, it was even weirder. Because if I was playing Camilla Frush, it'd be like, say what you want about Camilla Frush, that's Camilla Frush. But they were talking to me. They were like, London Hughes, you're terrible. Like, you're horrible. And even before the reveal, because at the end, we reveal that it was all a joke and I'm an actress. And right before the reveal, one of the bridesmaids knocked on my hotel door and was like, basically had a go at me for an hour. Right. And she basically was like, you're disgusting. I would never let my son watch you on TV. You're ugly. You're this, you're that, you're this. And I actually cried after she left. Oh, and the producers were like in the next room and they came in and they were like, you're right. And I was like, I better get a fucking BAFTA for this shit. I remember just being so upset. And they were like, keep it together. You've got an hour till the reveal. And when I revealed that it was all a joke, they didn't even believe me. I stood there and I was like, I'm an actress. They were like, sure, you're acting now. And I'm like, no, I am an actress. And even the bride was like, I've won a holiday, guys. Be happy. Like, she's an actress. And they were like, oh my God, I'm so shocked. I thought you were really a dickhead. I was like, I'm not. Just half a dickhead.
Yeah, a little bit.
But it was fun. I'm really
happy.
Did they
say sorry for being mentioned?
They didn't even say sorry. That's how much I pissed them off. They were like, she deserved it at the time. So, yeah, show business.
Well, it was a really great show. It's a shame they didn't do more of those. But it's that's the way it is, isn't it? And it's a business that isn't... Well, you've had this experience where the makeup ladies didn't have makeup for you.
Put hot chocolate on my face, Rich. Yeah. Do you know... You don't know this story? Oh, mate. So I used to present CBBC, as you well know, because you know me now. And at the time, this was 2012, they didn't have makeup artists. Like, they didn't have one makeup artist. They had loads that just came through on rotation.
Yeah.
And one week, one of the makeup artists just didn't have any makeup for black people. And at the time, we were at BBC Television Centre, and I'm on air at like 7:30 in the morning. So the only place that's open is Waitrose in Westfield. Yeah. And she realised I was black. And then panicked. And instead of going, oh, I'll ring up a friend or a makeup artist friend and get some black makeup, or, you know, I'll just find some makeup from someone or buy some makeup from a shop, she was like, I know, I'll go to Waitrose, I'll buy hot chocolate powder and I'll put that on her face. And so she did that. And I didn't know. So she was putting this powder on my face and I was like, oh, it smells... It smells chocolatey. And she literally said, oh, well, it is called cocoa. And I was like, okay. And then she did it, and I looked like one shade of grey. Like, it was weird. It did not look good. And she left, and I went through her makeup bag, which you're not supposed to do, but I was like, you know what? I need to see. And I saw this tub of Waitrose Organic hot chocolate. And I was like, no, because she might just be thirsty. Let me clarify that that's what she put on my face. And so I went to the producer, and I was like, can you please ask this woman what she put on my face? Because I look one shade of gollywog right now, and I need to know... I can say it because I'm black. You can't know. I'm allowed to say. I was like, I need to know what she did. And yeah, she admitted it. She said she put hot chocolate on my face. She panicked. Yeah. She didn't have any makeup for black people.
Terrible. I mean, it's terrible on every level, but just the fact that you're at the BBC.
I know.
And there wouldn't just be... like one black person has come through at any point.
That's the thing. But when I told the story, my friend Otis, who he's on the Gadget Show. Do you know Otis? Black guy. Lovely man. Same thing happened to him.
Right.
So he was doing Live and Kicking and they put Tesco's hot chocolate powder on his face. Yeah. But they told him. But he at the time he was young and was like, hey, yeah, sure. They're like, you're so dark, Otis. I'm just going to have to just put on the hot chocolate on your face. And he was like, all right. And so it's what I'm saying, everyone's shocked. I'm like, no, but it's happened before. It's not even like crazy. It's happened to someone else that I know. So yeah.
At least you got Waitrose though.
I got Waitrose. Hey! I've made it! I've made it, Rich! Ha! Talk about an upgrade.
I mean, God,
got Waitrose.
It's unbelievable. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of unbelievable. I believe you, but it's unbelievable.
No, it is. But the thing is, I feel like it's unbelievable to people that don't think about those kind of things. Because you will never, you're obviously not a woman, but you would never
I'm never on TV, so it's never an issue. But I do always eat my makeup off my face, so I'd love it if it happened to me.
You'd never have to think about stuff like that. So that's why. And everyone's like, oh my God, I can't believe that happens. Like, but other black people are like, yep, I can imagine that happens because they have their own thing. So I always bring makeup to set now, wherever I go, just in case a bitch wants to put some hot chocolate on my face. I can laugh about it now. But all that stuff happened. So much stuff like that happened. Like at the BBC, the Radio 4 show that I was telling you about with Ramesh, it was called 28 Dates Later, and the cast was me, Gráinne Maguire, Humphrey Kerr, Arinze Kenny, and Ramesh Ranganathan. And the audience was really, like, it was Radio Theatre, sold out, crazy audience, crazy energy, big laughs, diverse audience. And I remember, like, finishing it and being so proud of, like, the reaction. And even the people that worked at Radio Theatre were like, I've been here 20 years and I've never heard laughter that loud. Because usually it's, like, middle class, now show laughter, like, ooh. Do you know what I mean?
That's it.
That kind of thing. It's that kind of, that's what they're used to, that kind of laughter. Yeah. But the laughter was like, because I'm so funny, the laughter came from the gut and everyone was like roaring with laughter. And then afterwards, my producer at the time, who worked at the BBC, she's a great woman, she was on my side, but after the reaction, these BBC execs were like, oh my God, London, the reaction from the crowd was amazing. Like, you must be so proud. And my producer, the woman who's on my side, white woman, older white woman, but still lovely, she turned around and said, oh yeah, but that's because black people are loud and the whole audience were pretty much black. So it's just what, that's why. And like, first of all, the audience were diverse, so it wasn't just like a whole black audience. And also, what? Like, so then the execs, the BBC execs looked at me like, oh my God, did she really just say that? And this is someone on my team. Yeah, so yeah. I had to just be like, yeah, us black folks be loud. That's what we do. We're just all loud. Literally. Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, but it's they won't have had any experience. Yeah. So they're sort of these awkward white middle-class people probably trying to say the right thing and then
but thing is, some black
really
people are loud.
The wrong thing.
But some black people are loud, but not all of us are loud.
No, no, no.
So, like, just so you know, like, we're not all loud. I am! But we're not all loud. But yeah, so stuff like that, having meetings where you just go to meet someone for a TV exec or whatever, and they go and greet you with a fist bump instead of a handshake, and you're just like, what the hell? Give me my reparations. What's happening? Like, what the fuck is going on? What the fuck is going on, Britain? What the fuck is going on? So yeah, racism. No, I wouldn't even call it full-on racism because I don't believe that people are racist. It's just get more black friends. Get some funny-tinged friends, guys. Shitting out. We all need a funny-tinged friend. Everyone needs a funny-tinged friend. Everyone. Jesus. How many funny-tinged friends you have?
So many.
Are you sure? Yeah. Rich, am I your only funny-tinged friend?
I don't have any friends. I don't have any white friends.
Get some funny-tinged friends, man. You have to.
Carlton Dixon was in some of Rich Not Judy. He was funny.
Oh, really?
So I'm fine. He was very loud.
Shit.
So you do a lot about dating.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's, you know, you're a young woman.
Yeah.
So you also on Celebs Go Dating.
Yeah.
That's a real...
That was mental.
That's reality. Right?
Yeah.
Reality
I've always TV. Wanted to do reality because I auditioned for Big Brother and I feel like I'd be good at reality. And so when Celebs Go Dating were like, we want her, I was like, yes, pay me to date white guys on TV. Yes. Of course I'll do that. Free food and everything. Of course. So I went there and I am single. And every day's an opportunity to catch a dick. So I'm just, you just gotta say it. You gotta lay it out that my man might be here. So you just lay it out. So I'm single. And I went on the show thinking that I could find love, could catch a dick, could get more famous. It was so much things, so much pluses to doing that show. It was crazy though. Reality TV's insane. All reality TV stars are mental. They all should see therapy and they are horrible people. And I'm classed with them now. I get papped and shit. Like if I tweet something, it's in the Daily Mail. If I go to an event, I'm getting papped. It's crazy. Yeah. I love it. I love it all. But it's very non-comedic. Because look at James. Like, James, I asked James to come to an event with me, like, to get papped, and he literally nearly choked on his tongue. He was like, I'm not doing that. Like, he's just, like, the cool comedian. And I'm like, everybody look at me, comedian. It's just a weird thing. But I love it.
Yeah, there is a kind of... There might be a little bit of snobbishness in that area. In some of the stand-up.
Oh, stand-ups are fucking snobby as fuck. Yeah. I hate them. No, they're all right. Do you know what? I think it's just... Do you know what it is? It's just middle class bourgeois beige bullshit. And then there's like some cultural droppings of awesomeness. But mainly comedy in Britain is just middle class bourgeois bullshit. Yeah, so whenever... Yeah. Fuck them all. So whenever someone like me comes along, it's like, oh, she's so refreshing, because you're so used to this same bullshit. Does
but
that I think sense? That,
you know, but you are unusual in that, in the, you know, this confidence and, you know, in the in your face thing.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's off putting to some people.
Why would that be off putting? I'm fit as fuck. What do you mean? This is what I'm saying. Off putting. Off putting. I'm a queen. Rich, I'm not having it. I'm not having it.
Not to me.
No, I need a drink. He said I was off putting.
Not to me.
That is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
I'm a queen. You would love. Bruv, would you be intimidated by me?
I'm not. To some
Rich.
People, they, you know...
Me!
I guess...
I'm charming! I don't understand! This is what I'm saying. This is the British thing. This is why I'm fucking single. Because I'm off-putting. This is awesome. I'd love it if I met me as a man. Oh, my God! Do you know what I mean? Morning, thank you! Morning, basic bitches just with their meh. And you got me, you know.
I'm not saying it's their problem, not your problem.
But this is the British thing. It's like, yeah. Oh, she's a woman who's confident and loud. So it's like, my penis is shrinking. No. Your penis should be standing fully erect. That is what's wrong with men these days.
It's as erect as it'll go. That's what it says.
Jesus.
That's as far as it goes now.
This is what should be happening, Rich. Fully erect.
Well, I don't. I've always loved funny women. I've always loved confident women, and I've never understood that when they say women who are funny don't get guys.
Because if I was a dude, oh my! Have you seen? All right, so most of the comedians out there, they're not all that fit. Yeah, you should see their wives and girlfriends. Fucking hell, they are stunning. They are. Have you seen? Have you seen Katie? She's You're punching. You are punching. That's what I'm saying. Like, these average-looking to ugly comedians with these stunning... these stunning, awesome, skinny, beautiful, model, smart, intelligent, amazing wives and girlfriends and baby mothers and... Then there's like awesome people like me, and we're just like single. Like yes, it's just sad. It's
you should be single. You should be single for now. I mean, it's.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, you want to have a stellar career. You want to go to LA.
Yeah.
You
know, a man would hold me back in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're young. You want to enjoy yourself. You want to enjoy. You know, I think you do probably enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I do, and I have a lot of sex as well, and that would probably.
That's what I was going
for. Get mine. Got to sit on a couple faces a week, so that's how you get the blood flow going. Got to sit. Yeah. That's how I'm funny. It's powered by face sitting. That's what. this is fun, Rich. I'm having a good time. I'm having a real good time, Rich.
I'm having a good time too.
Yeah, it's great. I'm enjoying myself. This
I feel
fun.
Like Lembit Opik right now.
Who actually asked me for my number?
Did he? That's surprising. What a surprise.
Yeah. He actually did. It was amazing. He's got such raw energy, that man. Well, it's crazy.
He was in a terrible hang gliding accident. What a shame. It's a shame. It's a shame for that. That's awful. It's awful to happen to anyone. I'll ask you some emergency questions. Not that we need them, but let's see where we go. This is opened up at... I'll ask you this about...
What is it?
It follows on. This comes from I was talking to Richard Osman, who does World Cups of things.
I like him.
He's lovely.
He's a good man. He's a huge fan of mine.
He actually
is. Bless him.
I proposed a World Cup of STDs to...
Stop! No!
Which STD would win a World Cup of sexually transmitted diseases?
Would win?
Which is the best?
I feel like AIDS would win, but it would lose because you'd be dead.
Yeah, I mean, I would say...
I'm going to say...
You can look at it both two ways. You can say which is the worst sexually transmitted disease or which is the best sexually transmitted
disease. I'm going to say herpes.
Herpes,
yeah. Fling out herpes. Because
it never goes away.
It never goes away, and it comes back.
Yeah.
So
to remind you
that you have. You know? I wouldn't know.
No, I know. I know all about.
Really? I was in a sex education film when I was 14. It was called Swings and Roundabouts. And there's a.
Yeah.
And there's a show that I'm on Channel 4 about sex education. And you know when you watch celebrities on TV and they show you a thing of before you were famous? I remember watching celebs on TV as a kid and they'd be like, this is you before you were famous. And they'd show a clip of them auditioning for some bullshit. And I'd be like, oh my God, I can't wait till I'm famous and that happens to me. Well, it happened to me. So I was on this sex education show for Channel 4 just talking, and they showed us clips of old sex ed videos throughout time. Some of them are terrible. And then they showed me mine. And I was like, oh my God, and I'm 14, and I literally, the fucking comedy in me, even in a sex education film, I'm funny! I'm so funny. Like, I'm 14, and there's one line where I'm sitting on a bench, and this girl, she's just like had unprotected sex, and I literally look at her, and I'm the good one in the
she's
sex education film.
Just had unprotected sex, yeah, in front of you.
No. So the storyline was like to make it relevant to kids.
Yes, okay.
So I moved. My mum bought a hotel in Brighton when I was 14. So I grew up in Brighton, and there's nothing to do but fucking have babies in Brighton, and that's what everybody was doing. So they made a sex education film relatable to the youth. So obviously I wanted to be famous. So I got myself involved in that, and my character didn't have sex, but she was like the moral compass. And I was chatting to this girl. She just had sex. She felt down on a park bench, and she's like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to go to the clinic to make sure she wants to get the morning after pill, because he came inside her, do you know what I mean? So she went and got...
They'll do that.
She went and got the morning after pill. She went and got... What does that even mean, Rich? I've got visual images of you right now. I don't want to have. So she was like... So she's upset and she's like, oh, I'm going to go get the morning after pill. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, there's something else. What is it? ABC? DVD? STD! And literally, the comedy timing at 14 was just immaculate. And I watched it back like, I'm a fucking genius. Even then, like, and it's good. It's coming out on Channel 4 maybe in a couple months. You can see my reaction to seeing me before. It was great. But I didn't learn that much from that, really. But yeah, STDs are a thing.
Good. They are a thing. And yeah. If you watch out for them, just wear a Johnny.
I know that you want to ask me more questions on this book.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about something.
You can talk about anything.
Can I?
Yeah.
I want to talk about this. Do you know about the Whoopi Goldberg thing?
Yes. Yeah. Talk about this, actually. Yes. Yeah. I was going to get onto that. Yeah.
Oh, no, audience, do you want more questions? Or do you want to hear about Whoopi Goldberg?
About Whoopi Goldberg.
Do you want to hear what Whoopi Goldberg thing? Okay, so I thought you'd ask me about this, but you haven't.
I haven't, I was saving up.
Oh, would you actually?
No, that's right.
It's good. Babes, I'm sorry, do your job. Do you know what you asked
what
me?
With, you know what I'd love to see is you traveling around the world with Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked that question,
Rich. Yeah,
good. So I've got a story about that. So last year... I had loads of meetings about having a TV show, and I really wanted a female-led travel show because that would be amazing, and there aren't any. And I was like, let's just do one. And the company I worked with were like, who would you love to do one with? And I just said Whoopi Goldberg, like you would say Beyonce. Do you know what I mean? And they were like, okay, cool, we can make that happen. And they contacted Whoopi. Whoopi said yes. So most of the time when you make TV shows, the talent is the last to happen. Like, you get the TV channel interested and then we say, we can try and get Whoopi Goldberg, and you fight for that, which is crazy. But in this situation, we got Whoopi. So Whoopi was on board. So Whoopi said yes to doing this TV show with me, and it would be me and Whoopi going to America, traveling around. And I want to be her, because she's the only black female household name in comedy. Only. Full stop. You could say Whoopi in Basildon, Whoopi in Skegness. They'll know who the fuck you're talking about. She's the only black chick that you can on that level. Mm-hmm. And since her, there's been nothing. It's been a big 20-year gap of nothing. So I was like, as a kid, I want to be Whoopi. And the dream is still to be as big as her. So to do a show with her, I'm like, oh my God. And a travel show as well. And me and Whoopi getting drunk on tequila shots and just living our best lives. And her giving me like you know, mentoring and just funny shit. So anyway, we got the TV, we got Whoopi, we got the production company. All we had to do now is get a channel involved, which should be easy. No channels wanted it. Like, no channels. Like, none. And let's be clear, Russell Howard and Mum was on its fifth series. Ramesh Ranganathan's Mum gets more work than me, trust me. Bradley Walsh has got a show with his fucking son. But nobody wanted me and Whoopi. So after, like, I don't even know, like, what your brain does when you find out you've got a show with Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi Goldberg's agreed to be in a show with you, but nobody wants that show. It's mental. I'm surprised I didn't like drink myself into depression. I was just like, I cannot believe this. I cannot believe this. This is last year. So I cannot believe I had a show with Whoopi Goldberg and nobody wants to make that show. What the fuck? So then I let it go. But then on New Year's Day, Sister Act was on. And I'd had four Baileys. And you know when you just want to express yourself? So I was like, you know, fuck it. I remember picking up my phone with the Baileys in my hands and like watching Sister Act being like, I just think it's funny how in 2018, me and Whoopi had our own TV show. She agreed to do a travel show with me and no TV channels wanted it. In the future, can we have more female-led travel shows and not just comedians and their mums? And that tweet went viral. And it blew up. And next thing you know, all other female comedians were coming forward like, I pitched a show and they said no. Gina Yashere pitched a show and they said no. Tiffany Stevenson had a show and they pitched a show and they said no. And then we worked out, Tiffany wrote down every single male comic that had their own travel show. And it was like, fuck loads. And it was just like male comics and their friends, male comics and their mums, male comics and their dads. And it was just like all this stuff. And then the only female comic was Susie Perkins. Yeah. One time. And everyone was like, oh my God, this is insane. Like, what's going on? And so basically, that tweet spurred people getting upset and realising how TV works. Because everyone's like, oh, what's all this shit on TV? And it's like, we try and make shit for you, then the people in charge decide whether or not you guys want it. And that's bullshit. So I was like, let me see if the people want it. And the people wanted it. They were up in arms. And then next thing you know, The Guardian were doing interviews. And now, all of a sudden, people are interested in the show with me and Whoopi Goldberg. Well,
it's extraordinary. It's really extraordinary. I was actually, funny enough, I was talking to my wife about this on Valentine's Day.
Oh, of course.
We had not quite an argument, but over our Valentine's dinner. Because I was saying that, the travel shows are the ones that they do give to established people. So they go, it's an easy, from their point of view, it's an easy TV show.
Yeah.
So you go, you get someone established and you send them somewhere and then people, they know people will watch.
Yeah.
So I was saying, for some people, if that, to pitch that, that's a bit of a stretch because you're going, when you're not yet well known and you're saying, let's do this travel show. But I said, I can't believe Whoopi, they had Whoopi Goldberg, who is better than Jack Whitehall or whoever.
And Joel and this love Jack Whitehall. The world, and I love them. Yeah. But yeah.
That's a proper Hollywood.
Yeah.
You're saying it's 20 years, 30 years, but her career's still going.
Yeah, she's
still,
but they, and, do you know what? A lot of the comments were Whoopi Goldberg's not relevant enough. That's crazy. This is what I'm saying. This is why Netflix does so well, because Netflix just puts out everything and we decide whether it's a hit. Whereas TV, we're coming up with all these ideas and the people in charge who have no experience in comedy, and a lot of them genuinely don't have friends and they're just weirdos. And they're just like, I don't like it, so other people won't like it, and that's that.
Well, they're scared. That's the problem. And that's a problem. I'm not saying they're right about even, Tiffany Stevenson would do a great travel show,
yeah,
right. But that they're scared. So they're scared that
that's what are they scared of, Rich?
Well, they're scared.
What are they scared of?
They're scared that they'll commission something and no one will watch it. And
but that happens with dudes all the time. Yeah. Who the fuck watches anything? So many shit TV shows involving dudes happen. I'd rather a shit TV show with a chick. Like, we took a risk. None of you bitches were risking shit. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
every
successful TV show is someone taking a risk, and all the stuff that doesn't do very well is stuff people going, let's copy that other thing. So nearly every time. And so that's why panel shows are all the same people, because they go, oh, well, we know they work, and dare we risk putting even one new person in every show.
Oh, my God, I've auditioned for 8 out of 10 Cats 3 times. And when you audition for 8 out of 10 Cats, you think you could just be, they just give it to you. No, you've got to, first of all, you've got to do a run-through in front of all the producers of, Channel 4 or whatever who make the show. And then you've got all the other comedians and you're doing a run-through of the show and everyone's trying to be funny. Then if you get through to that round, you do it all again with Jimmy Carr as the host. And if you get through that, then you get on the show. 3 times I've got through to the Jimmy Carr round of that. And every time they say, oh, we love London, we just don't think our audience would get her. But then the basic dudes that maybe said 1 or 2 jokes that are just safe, relatable white dudes, they always make it on the show. And it was a ridiculous time of me watching all my friends go on the show and being like, if I'm not good enough, then that's one thing. But don't tell me I'm good enough and then say their audience. Just take a risk. And they'd always say, oh, if London's famous in her own right, then she can get on the show. So instead of me, they have like Jamelia. And it's just like, what is it that's... Why are you guys scared? It's just television. And I was on What the Week and I fucking killed that shit. So it's kind of like, you could take a risk on 8 out of 10 cats does Countdown. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but they
There's
should
so
do.
Many politics in this industry.
It is, but those programmes in themselves are sort of quite safe. And, you know, like, yeah. Let's do another panel show. Let's do, you know, they're not taking those chances.
But I feel like they have quirky white dudes, though. They'll have, like... Yeah. The weird but white guys doing weird
it's,
shit.
It's insane because I know everyone will say if you're on something, people will go, oh, positive discrimination. Oh, they've put one person in.
Oh, yeah.
And yet, you know, it's like to say that Romesh and Nish are the only two funny exactly. Asian people in
exactly.
the country.
Exactly.
That doesn't make sense.
Or Catherine's the only funny woman in the country.
And so it's kind of crazy if that was the, even if it was. You know, half the amount of people it should be.
It's just something. Like, even with me, every time I've got anything, everyone thinks, oh, I'm like the token or I don't deserve to be there. And I'm like, you need to understand, one, how hard it is for women in comedy anyway. On top of that, I'm a black woman in comedy and I've been on TV for 10 years. I have to be good to be on TV for 10 years being a black woman in this country because we make up like 3% of the country and less than 1% of television. So if I'm that chick that's been on TV for 10 years, best believe I'm good at what I do. So, thank you. So it's like, for me, when they say stuff like that, my friend Gronya Maguire, she always says, like, male comedians, they get opportunities because they've got potential. Female comedians get opportunities because they have experience. So most female comedians don't make it until they're, like, mid-30s because they've done enough to warrant the opportunities that they're getting. And it's like, nah, I was funny then, I'm funny now. Hurry up before I leave for America, babe. Do you know what I mean? So hopefully, I always speak out about stuff like this anytime I can because I feel like people need to... I love TV. I'm such a fan of TV and I want TV to be a massive thing. I don't want Netflix to take over TV. I miss the days when you'd run home and just watch Gladiators or some shit. Do you know what I mean? Like the good old days when you're all around the TV watching Blind Date and like back in the day to be on TV, you had to be talented. Like Cilla Black could sing and dance. Bruce Forsyth could sing and dance. Even Michael Barrymore's out here singing and dancing. He's just a presenter. And I was just like, now you've got these reality TV stars that are just there. For just being there. Yeah. And like, no one has that, like, that, you know, that performance ethic anymore. Like, oh, I'm gonna come and smash TV and be an entertainer. And I still got that shit in my soul. So anytime I can, and I feel there's an injustice, especially with women in comedy and entertainment, I have to say some shit.
Yeah,
so yeah, that's my serious part of this podcast.
But it's good. And what was amazing about that tweet was the way that it, you know, just that. It wasn't something that people had really said very much, but then this just explosion of everyone agreeing with you, all the, you know, this of anger about it and of the injustice of it. And I think then it does permeate through, you know, that's the thing. And that's when everyone then goes, oh shit.
Yeah. You know, and now my agent's getting calls like, oh, we're deciding to do an all female led travel show. My agent's like, yeah, I wonder why. Like my client started that shit. But it is what I'm happy that the tweet went viral. I'm happy that people are understanding that there are, it's not fair. It's so one-sided and there's so much work to do. But hopefully now if this Whoopi show gets made, it's got interest from ITV. They are interested in it right now. So if that gets made, hopefully people will be like, actually, this is good. So other shows that are with women in it aren't so much as a risk anymore.
Yeah, well, I think that's hopefully the way it's going to go. Although, you know, it's such a... You know, TV, as you say, might very well be irrelevant.
Yeah, it will be, but I feel like if people don't give the people what they want, like a variety of shit, then of course it will be. That's why Netflix is so good. But I just want, I don't know, the young girl in me, I always wanted to be like the black girl I never saw on TV. I didn't see black girls on TV because Desmond's was, Desmond's was before my time. So I didn't, but the first black person I saw on TV was Angelica Bell on CBBC. And seeing her on CBBC made me want to be a CBBC presenter. So I got that, tick, did that at 21. And the next black woman, Whoopi Goldberg. So now I'm doing a show with her, tick. Yeah. So it's just kind of like, that I'm trying to just, yeah, I'm just trying to be the funny black chick I never saw on TV that I still don't really see on TV. So, yeah, apart from myself. Oh, I'm on TV tonight. You're missing it.
There you go.
I'm on TV. You lot, when you get home, go on and catch up and watch the stand-up sketch show, 10 p.m. oh, ITV2. Yes. That's on now. What time is it? It's on now. I'm on TV that. Now. Yes. Look at that.
Go and put the telly
go
on.
Go when you get
it.
Home. Watch it. 10 p.m. ITV2. I'm very funny in it. So
I have a feeling, London, that we're going to be seeing a bit more of you.
Thanks, Rich. What, because we're going to be friends in real life?
Yeah, no, not us. I'll never see you again. But that will be your choice. I'll be ringing up, being, please come on now, you're really famous. No, Richard, I'm in Hollywood.
I've got a new show coming out. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it, but I'm going to. When does this podcast
end?
It'll
be a couple of months.
Oh, great. So there's a show that I'm doing.
They won't tell anyone.
I mean, please do. That's why I'm telling them. Okay. I want you to. So there's a show on ITV called All Star Musicals, where celebrities take on famous musicals, perform it at the London Palladium, and the judges are like Elaine Page, Kristen Chenoweth, and the big genie in Aladdin, that funny singing black guy who I love. And I'm rehearsing for that now.
Great.
And so that comes out on the 8th. No. In March, mid-March.
Yeah.
And the other celebrities, they don't know what's hit them because they got me to do it. So, like, I'm going up against Alan Titchmarsh. What? Come on. What's Alan Titchmarsh got on me? Alan Titchmarsh going to be shaking in his boots.
He is.
Alan Titchmarsh, what's her name? Raquel from that... What's that show with Raquel?
Only Fools and
yeah,
Horses?
Yeah, Raquel. She don't know. Her name is in real life. Yeah. Raquel? Yeah? And then some chick from Emmerdale, some dude from Coronation Street, and Joel Dommett. And I am going to win that show. And when it comes out, I want you to remember this conversation. I want you to just send positive vibes. I don't know if it's an audience vote or if it's an audience in the Palladium, but I don't even know. But I need to win. Okay, guys? So positive vibes.
You'll never beat Titchmarsh. That's not going to happen. You've got
but
no
chance. I'm doing Chicago. I'm doing Roxy. Full-on dance number. Being funny and great. And I'm really excited about that because it's like primetime ITV and I've never been on primetime ITV before. So hopefully, when that show airs, it does wonders for me and people go, oh, she's not a risk anymore. She's an all-round entertainer. She can sing and dance and be fit. So that's... And hopefully I'll catch a dick and then everything will work out for me.
I think you're going to catch a few.
Thanks, Rich.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Rich. It's London Hughes, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
You have been listening to Rahalastapar with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, London Hughes. Thank you very much to Pest for playing this music for us. It is lovely. Thank you to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre and everyone at Go Past the Stripe. And everyone at ACAST and the British Comedy Guide, you're all very lovely people. And thank you very much. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production. If you enjoy these podcasts, why not come and see one live? All the dates for the tour and the London dates as well are at richardherring.com/gigs. Thanks. Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.